All right, welcome everyone to another episode of the Arm and Time Podcast. And today I'm sitting down with Steve from Reserve Watch Adventures. And he's recording from his car at Fort Knox because, he's training the bootleaking officers over there. So, but how you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm really good. Thanks for having me on your show. Definitely appreciate it.
For sure, and, man.
Out at Knox. Helping out in the talk, doing some tracking for basic camp cadets, but
yeah, good time. Yeah, that's cool, man. How long you been there already?
I got up here July 8th, so okay. A little bit, and I'll head back kind of second week of August. So
okay, got it. Man, so this is about a month of training cadets, huh?
Yeah, about a month, 35-ish days, I think. So it's not too bad. We had a period of a break going on right now, so it's not 24/7 for me, but
yeah,
not too bad.
Cool. How many of them got lost already?
none got lost. We've had several that have a significant emotional event, with it being their first time in the woods, sleeping in the woods, doing patrol bases, a lot of tears, a lot of people realizing they don't want to be infantry anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it is. Yeah. All right, well, freaking, I'm happy that you're here, man. I know that I'm taking away a little bit of your break time, but yeah, man, I just want to talk watches and tell a little bit of your side.
Yeah.
So what got you into watches, man?
I would probably say when I was in ROTC, we were not allowed to wear a watch unless we memorized some stupid like paragraph of like what is time or something. So as a freshman, I really wanted to wear a watch for some reason. So I memorized it the next day. And then I just wore like a cheap digital Casio. And then switched to like a Timex Ironman that I had for a while, some cheap Casio watches. And then really in the last probably 2 or 3 years, I started getting more involved in looking at different watches from like quartz to automatics and stuff like that. So,
yeah. So what are you doing in the Army right now?
So I'm in the reserve, drill out of Fort Worth. Just switched over this week from my active duty branch of air defense to the scummy logistics corps. So I'm in the SPOG section, which is like,
okay, got it.
Port operations, kind of S4 ish.
Yeah. My brother works at SPO in Fort Hood or Fort Cavazos. So that's pretty cool, man. So now that you've been over there for probably about a month, what watches have been your go-to for being out in the field every day, all day?
Yeah, so I brought really pretty much a lot of the same thing. I've got one of the newer Seiko Turtles. It's like their Tropical Lagoon one.
Yep.
That's a limited edition that I hate limited editions, but I thought it looked nice.
Yeah.
So that one's been pretty good. I got an island watch from SKX clone.
Yeah.
That's been pretty good. And then I have a Seiko Land Tortoise that I brought. And then I had a 38 millimeter Islander SKX clone.
Yeah.
That I ended up trading with my roommate for his 2004 Marathon General Purpose Mechanical.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I know which one you're talking about because I saw it on your page. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. I did see the SKX clone also on your page before. So it's pretty cool.
I missed out on the actual one, and I'm not about to pay like $700. I actually really like it. It's coming up. Tomorrow will be a month since I initially set it. I haven't had to adjust the time or anything, and it's pretty reasonably close to the atomic clock. So.
Yeah, that's pretty good, man. You know, it's like, you know, it boils down to preference, you know, in the field and stuff. But for me, I like to have a steel watch. I know a lot of people prefer to have a Racing or like a Casio, you know, Casio type of watch. For me, I prefer the steel watch. Typically, I just switch it from the bracelet because you know, I prefer the closer, tighter approach to the wrist when you have a NATO or you know a rubber band or something like that. And that's typically what I do. Specifically, when I was in Alaska, you know, in Alaska, I wore my Hamilton a lot. My khaki navy on an elastic NATO a lot when I went to the field. And also I did one time I did take my Casio that I have, the 2100. And it was pretty good too. But there's something about I just like the fact that it was a little bit more heft on it without being huge. So I could actually feel it. And you know, I'm a dude, I'm a nerd, you know, like I work right now in you know, communications at S6. So I don't do all the crazy stuff. So for someone like, you know, Time Hag that's running around with engineers and stuff, that's different. You know, that's different for sure. But I got my I was telling Cody and Jason the other day. I actually, when I went to on leave to Colorado, we went hiking and I took my Grand Seiko only for the leave period when we went out, and I only wore my Grand Seiko the whole time. So whenever we went hiking or doing anything, that's what I wore. You know, I don't know. I don't distinguish at all between what I do with my watches, I guess. You know, like the other day I was at work and someone was like, "Man, ain't that too nice of a watch to work?" I was like, "To do what? Be on a meeting?" Like,
That's how I am. I keep my max limit right now is like $1,000 because I don't want to get too upset at myself if I like destroy a nicer watch than that. But I met a major out here that's a West Pointer cab. He's got his tanker boots, but he's got a Rolex GMT Master on a
Nice,
bracelet
nice.
that he goes into the field with the advanced camp guys.
I mean, he's a West Pointer, you know. West Pointers, they high class, I guess.
Yeah, because he knows my roommate, so I'm a contractor out here. I'm not doing it as like a reservist.
Got it, got it.
But yeah, he walked in and I was like, "Oh, that looks like a Rolex GMT Master." He's like, "Oh yeah." He's like, "What do you have on?" I was like, "Oh fuck, I just got a Seiko Colonel, like $400, just
It don't
chilling." But
matter, man. It don't
that was
matter.
the he took it off and I got to fondle it for a second, but I definitely understand now the appeal of a Rolex. Those are very nice.
So what I would say is, you know, what it's kind of like a BMW, right? So when you look at a BMW from the car perspective, a lot of times a BMW, is it the nicest car, the fastest car? No. But what BMW does very well is they take a basic concept, elevate it enough to be luxury, and they do it well to withstand time in a long run, right? So they barely change their vehicle looks a lot as it goes through, right? And when you look at Rolex, that's basically what Rolex is doing, right? So when you ask any watch enthusiast that doesn't really enjoy Rolex as much, like let's say I enjoy some models, but I'm not a very big Rolex fan. And majority of us, what we're gonna tell you is, oh, you know, they haven't changed a lot. It doesn't excite me. But that's what they did, right? They built this case shape that that works for a lot of things, and it works well. It has worked well through the years, and it doesn't have to change as much. So they did that very well, and I think sticking with smaller sizes in their sports watches was a smart idea because now we're coming back to a smaller size, right? If you would have asked someone, 4 or 5 years ago, about a 40 millimeter diver, they pro a lot of people probably would have been like, I want something a little bit bigger, like a 42, a 43. Some people would have told you a 50, but nowadays, coming back, it works smartly for them because now the last 2, 3 years, the market for Rolex was insanity, So I think that was very smart on their side. So, and at the end of the day, for him too, like he's a West Pointer. I guarantee you the fact that it has a lot of brand recognition, it is important to him.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, he came into my room and he had his West Point ring on and his Rolex and tanker boots.
He went back and watched Hodinkee, ate some cheese and drank some wine in his room afterwards, not that I don't do that. I do that, but but it's pretty cool, man. The Aphis the other day, believe it or not, man, Aphis the other day, I don't know if it's still there, but it had a blank pawn.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
I was like, who is gonna buy this? And this is the crazy thing, it wasn't a used blank pawn because you can get used Rolexes on Aphis, right? But it wasn't a used blank pawn, it was a brand new blank pawn, and it wasn't the cheapest blank pawn either. So I was like, who's gonna buy this, man? Like, I should probably go tell the general over here in 1ID because that's probably the only person, one of the only people that's gonna buy it. I was like, this is crazy. But yeah, I don't know how they do their timelines, honestly. They probably don't have a strategy at all. But to me, it's crazy because they every now and then they'll come up with some weird, very high-end watches that they'll put in there and they'll disappear. Either get bought or it'll disappear for a little while and they'll come, something else will come right back. They have the typical ones always in there. But I'm telling you, man, one of the things that I do is I'm constantly looking at Aphis because, dude, you can get, and I'm pretty sure I said this before, but my white dial Seamaster, when I bought that one, I bought it for $3,300, which that's from 56. That's a lot of percentage of, and it's not always like that, but you can get a lot of discount every now and then on Aphis,
Yeah,
man. It's
you definitely got me hooked on it. So
Yeah.
since I've been up here, I've been looking on Aphis and since the Time Hack and the Spring Bar podcast, I've been really wanting an orange Devil Diver. And
Dude.
they have it on the website. So I went
Yep.
over to the Fort Knox PX. I was talking to like the watch counter lady. And
Yeah.
I was like, if they can order it in like from the little kiosk there to the
Yeah.
store, I can get a decent price on it, I'll do it. And they're like, oh no, you have to go online and order it. And I was like, oh, never mind.
So this is what I would tell you though, for anyone ordering from Aphis. If you're ordering from Aphis doesn't, so this is what happens, right? A lot, they don't hold the watches unless they have them in store. So if you see it at a store, typically that store itself bought an allocation to have it, and it doesn't get marketed as is in that store specifically. They try to only do it for people that are on, in person, but their online luxury watches, right, per se, the more higher end brands than just Michael Kors or whatever, those ones, they don't hold in a warehouse. They'll put the order to the company. So when, let's say you order a Oris, the Oris doesn't come from AFI's warehouse, it comes from Oris. So if Oris, warehouses in New Jersey, which one of them is, your watch will come from Oris in a New Jersey address. And so typically, that's the reason why they say if it's online only, you have to buy it online. Because if, and you want it that way, because if you order it, another tip, order it to get to your house. Because if you order it to get to the store, it will take longer, a lot longer. Because now they buy the allocation, they pay for the allocation that they got. The watch goes through the process and then goes to them on a warehouse. And then from the warehouse, it gets shipped to the store. So it will be double the time. Now, if you order it to go to your house, it typically gets there in about a week and some change. If it's coming from outside the United States, and if it's coming from inside, it will be probably about 4 or 5 days. So it's a lot faster than if you order it to get to the store, as I found out in the past.
Yeah, it's definitely good to know. Yeah,
Yeah,
I've been
for
looking at
sure.
that. I don't need anything else. I'm trying to downsize my collection,
Yeah.
but I was looking at that, the Squale 1521 diver,
Yeah.
the blue. I really like that one. I was looking at the Mito, like Ocean
Yeah.
Star.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the day date watches as like a
Yeah.
daily piece. So the Turtle's good. I like that. But the
Yeah.
Ocean Star, I think, looks pretty nice, and it's not too terribly expensive. Because if I break a watch out in the field or something, I don't want to be like super upset about it.
Yeah.
I'm okay using them and essentially destroying them, but I don't want
Yeah.
to destroy like anything overly expensive. So I get
Yeah.
stuck in this of like
Yeah,
wanting like a
yeah.
Tudor or something like that, or an Omega, and then it's like, well, or like losing it in the ocean.
Yeah.
Because I live like in the Charleston area in South Carolina, so I've been getting into windsurfing. So I've
Yeah.
wore the Turtle out there. I don't want to like clip it on something and then it falls off, but I'm okay if it happens.
Yeah.
I just prefer obviously to not.
Yeah. Definitely, man. I mean, that's a possibility, obviously. But that's why a lot of people like NATOs, right? Because it offers the fact that if it comes out of one side, it doesn't come off your wrist. It stays there. So like if you have a bracelet and it comes out of one side and the spring bar fails, it will come off your wrist because there's nothing else attaching to it, right? So that's one thing for sure that NATO lovers love to mention.
Yeah,
So
I'm a big NATO fan for sure. That's pretty much what I wear if I'm doing some type of
yeah,
training.
dude, I'll tell you, do you have a Facebook account?
I do.
Are you follow those the AWWC account where when they start going at it between the NATO boys and
Oh,
the
yeah.
I tell like sometimes I'll be at work and I'll pull it up and something will pop up and I'll just start cracking. I'm like, God damn, like this is exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Tell
Yeah,
you.
that banter back and forth is pretty good.
Yeah. The other day I saw one where someone posted the bracelet boys. And it was an image of the Titan with the sharks. And I was like, oh, damn. I was like, damn. So yeah, man, you say you live in the Charleston area. You say you're a contractor on your civilian side, right?
Yeah, so I do I'm like an ROTC instructor, so I'm
Oh, God, okay.
yeah, so I do it at a college, teach the freshmen. So I've done
Okay.
that since November of last year.
Okay.
And then I'll switch to be like an employee of the college itself when I get back from Fort Knox. So it pays a little bit better and stuff like that. But yeah, the contractor thing's interesting. kind of being back in ROTC land again. But yeah, teaching the freshmen, it's pretty funny. They've got a whole bunch of different misconceptions about the Army. But I have come across quite a few cadets, seniors that commissioned that are lieutenants now that were into watches. One of them, he had a Seamaster, the Seiko, like Willard, like Vietnam era one.
Ooh, that's nice.
And another guy had a like Orient Komatsu.
Nice.
Yeah, because the guy with the Willard was a he was like one of the cadet like XOs or first sergeants or something. I saw he had a the Willard on. I was like, oh, I was like, nice Willard there. And he was like pretty excited that someone was able to identify it. And I had my Marathon Arctic G-SAR on. We had a good little conversation there about watches for a second.
Dude, now that you mentioned the marathon, have you seen so when Ben was at Teddy Baldassare, when he interviewed the guy that works with him, that used to be a diver. He was talking about this marathon that he bought through a dealer that switches, it basically turns it into a left-hand drive. So it's the crown is on the left side. So I don't know if you've seen that one. That's pretty cool, man. I was like,
Yeah, I've
man, that's
seen that. Because I think that shop or that company is out of North Carolina. I can't remember what their name is. But yeah, they do a lot of stuff because their website's got, they'll take the stainless steel, like general purpose mechanical, and they'll like mod it into a different case and like ruby blast stuff or bead blast it. So they do a lot of different cool mods like that. And I've seen a
That's
couple
pretty
of
cool.
them on like the AWWC page. Well, they take like the anthracite G-SAR case and then throw the Arctic dial in there. With black, so that with the black hands, and that looks pretty good.
So you mentioned you wanted a dude, you mentioned you wanted the devil diver. You know what I've been wanting Bulova to do is to put the precisionist movement in a version of the devil diver. Oh, man, that would be so cool. Like, just take the devil diver, don't change it. Just do, I don't know, some special edition color or something, and just change the movement to the precisionist movement and have a sweeping seconds hand on it. Woo.
That'd be nice. I mean, they could put really any movement besides what's currently in there, and it would be nice.
Because they I don't know if you saw the new Jetstars that they released. They
Yes, those look good.
Yeah, those looks really good. And I'm glad that it's not a 50 millimeter watch, right? It's just a 40 millimeter case. So that's pretty cool because it's not a huge watch, which is what a lot of the watches, the precisionists that contain the precisionist movement, they have like 50 millimeter watches, right? So having one at 40, that's really good. And they look pretty good. I like them. I think that 100%, I guarantee you go to any page that's re either reviewing it or talking about it, and the people in the comments, the Hodinkee Bros are going to complain about 50 meters of water resistance.
Oh, yeah,
So,
for sure.
100%. So, I mean, I get it. Like, everyone wants more water resistance than not. I just think 99% of people are not even going to use the 50 meters capability. So,
Yeah, because I mean, you can go swimming with a 50-meter watch.
I mean, it's no issue. It's like when I had the Khaki Navy, a lot of people said that they liked it, but they would preferred it to be at least 200 meters of water resistance. Like, dude, I'm in the Army. I jumped, into the water from an airplane with a watch on, and I had no issue. So,
Yeah,
what's
I mean,
the, you know?
think it's 100 meters is, I think, fine, because I'm pretty sure the ISO for a dive watch is like the minimum is 100 meters.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, I mean, does it have, to me, the most important thing is, does it have a screw down crown for us in the military, right? Because I think that a lot of times you're getting your hands into different pockets and different things. So, like, you know, does it get, the crown gets stuck in there and it gets pulled out? That I can understand, you know, because now you're running around with a crown pulled out and you're not noticing, and you either run the risk of breaking the stem or actually getting water in there when you're an LT and get lost and then land nav, you know.
Yeah, the screw-down crown is definitely the key, I think, to that stuff.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But I like those Jetstars, man. I think they're pretty cool. Now I hope that they take the good, you know, positive things that people are saying about it and realize, hey, let's start putting this in other watches that they are about the same size, that more sporty or whatever, and get a line of precisionists that actually people like. Because, you know, the only people that wear the other ones are Mark Anthony and whoever is the sponsor. Which I don't know how, because Mark Anthony has a wrist that is probably like 2 millimeters, right? So I don't understand how, you know, so I don't understand how he's doing that, but he's getting paid for it. So that's what it is.
Yeah, Bulova is definitely doing a really good job, I think, lately with their releases.
Yeah, man. So you said before you were, now that you switched to logistics, BNS 4, what you used to be before?
So I was on active duty air defense.
Air defense?
Yeah, so a good 14 alpha.
yeah. So what happened there? How long were you in active duty?
So I did basically the like minimum active requirement of like 4 years.
Okay.
So commissioned 2017, then went to Fort Hood after Bullock and all that.
Yeah.
And then my unit, the battalion, deployed to Kuwait and Bahrain. So I was over there doing stuff. And pretty much over there, I just wore a Casio F91 and what else? I think I had a Timex Ironman that I had in college that ended up breaking over there, but
yeah,
because I was super bought into our unit. It was like, oh, it's going to be an austere operating environment. We're not going to the and then I'm like telling the troops, I'm like, oh, we're going to a new place, and we go to Camp Arif John. So it's like the place we've been occupying for 20 plus years. But yeah, that probably got me into the watches first with that Casio F91. I really liked it. It was pretty slim.
Yeah.
And then kind of since then, it's just kind of grown.
Yeah. I mean, so, the F91 is like one of the especially in that area of the world, right? That's the bummer watch. it's a very common watch, but you know, you can't go wrong with it, because that thing, you know, can take a beat up and survive. So if bum makers are using them, that tells you something, you know.
Yeah, it was definitely good. Because if I was still air defense, I don't know if I would wear an automatic, because it has a lot of like magnetism and stuff with the radar.
Yeah.
My understanding.
Yeah. Well, air defense, and we were just talking about this at work, actually, but you know, so one of the things is, you know, people think communications equipment has a lot of magnetism, a lot of power pushing through, and certain equipment does, right? Certain equipment does, but to put it in perspective, there's air defense equipment that pushes about, let's say, I'm not going to give you a specific number because I don't want to break any rules, right? But I don't want to go to jail. But I will say pushes about more than 100,000 times the amount of power and magnetism through the frequency, through the spectrum range that any communications equipment in the military do, So, you know, you're pushing. Another way to say it is, imagine you have one frequency, right? And you're looking and you say, oh, you know, this equipment is going to use this one frequency. On air defense equipment, it bleeds out. So anything that is even close to frequencies in that number area will get pulled in and drowned. Yeah. I know that's nerd talk. I know that's nerd talk for a lot of people out there, but it's I don't know if you know many other ways to explain how much power, how much stuff is going through there. And if I was going to say, because I would say I have wore my khaki navy. I used to wear it next to artillery guns all the time. The vibration, the shooting of the gun doesn't do anything to it unless you're putting it on top of the gun. So watches nowadays are very, very good, you know, even at the lower end of specs. So, you know, it's more than enough for someone sitting in an office in a bank acting like they're, you know, super active. But when it comes to that type of equipment, I will probably also not wear a mechanical watch because I will, even if it's a quartz watch, I would not wear a super expensive watch because if it's going to go bad, it's probably going to go bad with that type of equipment, you know?
Yeah, because I had one of the maintenance NCOs I was with. He, for the radar, there's I guess something called a mod tank, and this is all secondhand. I've never seen it. I don't really interact with that stuff, but they basically have to like wave a wand around in there to like demagnetize or like do something with the like charge in it. And it's like if you touch it without this magic wand, you basically get like zapped into
power. Yeah. you get fucked, man. I'm telling you, like. The you know, you got to understand, like, it's on purpose. How can I say this without breaking any laws? It's on purpose, let's say, so that no one else can drown the voice of the signal where it needs to get, right? So if you understand that, you know what I'm saying. If not, then too bad. Figure it out. It's crazy. That's probably the one spot where I wouldn't use a mechanical watch. Definitely not a Milgauss, because the Milgauss doesn't even have enough nowadays. That's why took it away. They need to find more Milgausses, more Gausses. But I don't know. Maybe an Aquaterra will be interesting for someone that has a lot of money to try it, because I would like to see if the Aquaterra can withstand it, because the Aquaterra does have a shit ton of resistance. You know, it's pretty specced up when it comes to anti-magnetism. So I wonder on that one. But then when it comes to regular watches, that would be a spot where I wouldn't do it. Now, if anyone out there has done it with their typical mechanical watch and doesn't do anything, then I stand corrected. Let me know. But I don't know, man.
If I'm ever in that environment again, I'll give it a shot.
I would tell you this. I'm going to, in about 2 weeks, I'm going to be in a training in a different area where we're going to be working with some similar equipment. So I'm going to wear my Tissot C-Star. It has a silicone hairspray. You know, it's a tank of a watch. We'll see if it takes it. So I will communicate back if it takes it for sure. Cause it's going to be some pretty interesting stuff. So we'll see. But yeah, that's pretty cool. How long were you deployed out there?
It was, for me personally, it was like 2 weeks shy of a year. So I was on kind of the torch party going out to Kuwait. And then we ended up getting extended because I was over there when the Global Hawk was shot down by Iran back in like 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
So that extended us a few extra months. And then we came up close to the year and they're like, oh, time to send everybody home. We don't want to pay extra.
You never, I know a lot of people in the military do this. Did when you were up there, did you ever bought one of those Folexes, one of those fake that they saw in the Hadji stores?
No, I did not.
Did
There was quite a few of the different fake things.
When I my first deployment, when we were coming back, we stopped at a big base in Iraq or Kuwait, I don't remember. And we call it the Haji shops, so don't get offended, people. But they, in the Haji shops, that's when people went to shop before getting back to the United States, spent all their hard-earned money. And a lot of people bought Folexes from there. Yeah, man. So there was a lot of people that bought those Folexes from deployment and stuff. That was like a hot commodity item out there. That in Newports. Yeah. So it's pretty crazy. But so after that, when you guys came back, that's when you left the army, active duty.
So after that, I got voluntold to go be like a basic training PL slash XO at Fort Sill.
Got it, got it.
So I was a PL over there, like downgraded back to a PL again. And then
Yeah.
I was the XO for like a year and a half through COVID and stuff. So then
Got it.
July, August of 2021 was when I got off active and went to the reserve.
Yeah, so that's pretty recent. You got out pretty recently out of the active duty.
Yeah, so my watch obsession addiction kind of took off after active duty. So that's when my watch page is Reserve Watch Adventures.
Got it, got it. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. It's I see a lot, and the military is a lot into watches, but I see a lot of people, kind of hold themselves back into go experimenting more, and then once they get out, it kind of breaks out. All hell breaks loose,
Yeah, that's definitely the case. I did run into a Sergeant First Class out here that had the Sangin Overlord.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool,
So
cool.
he, I think that was his first kind of like more expensive watch purchase. So
Yeah,
he started going like crazy on all the watch stuff with him. He's like, well, this is
yeah.
the first one I got. So, but yeah, I think he was saying how he wants to get another Sangin of some type. And
Yeah.
so I think he'll be shortly on the addiction
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll definitely be on the addiction train for sure. Yeah, for sure. So what made you change from air defense to when you were air defense also when you commissioned, or that's when you changed to
Yeah, so
existing?
I branched air defense on active.
Yeah.
And then when I switched to the reserve, there's no combat arms type
Yeah.
job. It's all support, except for that one infantry unit out in like Hawaii, Guam area. But so
Yeah.
I had to switch to it like a support branch essentially.
Yeah.
So I initially was trying to go to the Texas Guard
Got it.
because they were moving a tank unit to Fort Hood. So I was
Yeah.
gonna do that, but then that ended up falling through because the GS civilians or state civilians running it just were
Yeah.
typical government civilians. So ended
Yeah,
up
yeah.
doing the reserve instead for logistics. So
Got it. Got it. Yeah, man. My brother is in logistics, but he's in Fort Cavazos now. And it's crazy because that's my little brother and he just joined
oh,
and I am near retirement, so it's like two opposites, man.
yeah.
Two opposites. So yeah, so when it comes to watches, man, what's do you have any way forward or any grail watches that you would like to work towards, or any way forward that your collection is going to move in the future towards too?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I really like day date watches. I know a lot of people hate that and prefer like no date or no day or anything at all. It's just, I don't know, I like being able to look at the day on my watch. So I like that stuff. So I was just buying a lot of random stuff, I think, which happens to a lot of people. And then I've slowly come to the realization that I like a day date complication on there. So I don't know if I have like a Grail specific watch, but the Mito Ocean Star has a day date version, and I really like that one. But so that one, and then probably like a Doxa orange dial at some point, even though it's not a day date. I like that one.
Yeah, I will tell you, man, Mito, Mito, whatever people want to call it. I'm ESL anyway, so it don't matter. Mito, Mito, I will say, they're part of the same group as Tissot, right? And Hamilton. And they share that Powermatic 80 movement. And Mito has their own version of the Powermatic 80 movement in those watches. I love that movement, man. I love it. People, you can say all you people can say all they want. Oh, they just, they achieve the 80-hour power reserve by trickling down the beats, the amount of beats from 4 hertz to something else, 3.2, whatever it is. But the thing is that the movement itself, extremely accurate. It moves really good. It's just the way they did it, they executed it well. I know a lot of watches out there that, lower the amount of beats below 4 hertz, and it doesn't look as good anyway. And it doesn't re retain time like those do. They do a really good job. I love that movement. I think it's a great movement. And then Mito or Mito
Yeah, I
have,
don't know. People
yeah.
are gonna hate on me for it, so.
It is what it is. Mito has an amazing finishing. So I would say, if you take like divers like the Tissot Sea Star that I have, and you go up a couple of notches on finishing and quality of the final product, that's Mito, right? So it's more up there than what your typical $700 Tissot is going to be. So they're really good finished watches. They look really good. The bracelets are really good. I know a lot of people hate their two sizes because they typically have 42, 38. So a lot of people like the sizes in between. So I think a lot of times that's why people overlook them, and they don't have a very robust, marketing like Hamilton and Tissot do. So I think that that also hurts them. But dude, Mito is amazing watches. So if you're looking towards them, it's gonna be pretty cool because you're gonna like it because those are pretty good watches. They're finished very well. I like it. I like it. And I know you use NATO straps, but their bracelets are pretty legit too.
Yeah, they look pretty good all the way around. They're just nice.
And Doxa, man, I mean, Doxa has the name, like, and you get that orange dial walking around with Doxa on it, and people go crazy about it, so so but that's pretty cool watches to work towards, man. This, those are very legit tool watches, very good on both sides. I think, like when I started collecting, I kind of knew pretty fast that what I liked, and as long as you stay, like for me, I even put like, it's arbitrary things, right? But for me, like I don't even like to go above like 7, 8 watches in my collection at a time. So like if once I get that high, man, if I'm getting something else, I'm moving something, so that limits me a little bit on how fast I get something else, because if I want something else and I got to get rid of something and I don't want to get rid of anything, then I'm not going to get it, you know? So yeah. It's pretty crazy. But to me, I very quickly knew I like divers and I like GMTs, you know, and
yeah,
I like casual watches, like more on the look of your, you know, Datejust or your, you know, Omegas and you know, your more alpinist Seikos and stuff like that. But, you know, not, I like them, but not all of them. So it has to be a really good watch for me to enjoy them a lot, you know. So I don't know. The new colorways that Omega had on the damn, I can't even remember the when they came out, like a year ago, man, you know?
Yeah.
But I think they're starting to make it into the stores and stuff. You know, I mean, those ones I enjoy a lot, but to me, it has to be kind of like a Jubilee type of bracelet, kind of jingly, you know? That's what I like on those type of watches. So a lot of times they don't come in those type of watches and right. those type of bracelets. So to me, it's like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you see, the Aquaterras is the one that I'm talking about, but the Aquaterras come into, like, in typically in, like, that, more of a H-link type of a bracelet, or
yeah,
you know, your freaking typical bracelet that everyone gets, Oyster, but not Jubilee. And I think that's one of the things that I love about old Datejust or old Rolexes, when they have that Jubilee strap bracelet. Oof.
Yeah, those look good. Those definitely look
kinda
good.
Kind of jingly, you know.
Yeah.
That's the ones I like.
Yeah, the jingly jangly bracelets tend to be pretty comfortable.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I like them. Like, if you know, for me it's like if I was going to get a Rolex, it'll probably be an Explorer 2. Yeah. But if someone gave me a choice, like, hey, I'm going to give you this Rolex Datejust or Day-Date, and you got to choose what bracelet you want in it, I'm going Jubilee all day. I'm Team Jubilee for sure. It's kind of like with Speedmasters, right?
Yeah.
I'm Team Hesalite. I like the Hesalite look on the Speedmaster.
Yeah, they look good.
Yeah. Dude, while we were talking, I looked up on Aphis. They still have the blank pawn in it. It's the GMT in titanium, $21,900.
Wow. Yeah, that's like the post commanding general or something coming in there.
Yeah, I'll tell you. So, but yeah, it's I don't know. For me, I'm working my Grail watch, like I mentioned before, is whenever Grand Seiko decides to put out a diver that is 40 millimeters or 41, that will be my Grail watch. So as of right now, my Grail watch doesn't exist. You know, I want a Grand Seiko 40, 41 millimeter diver, and that will be it. And I will probably sell whatever I have to sell. Myself in the corners of the street, whatever I have to do to get that watch. But as of right now, it doesn't exist. So I, you know, I don't have a Grail watch per se. I think I'm moving around a lot of pieces, moving from the watches that I had within the last probably a year and a half. I'm moving a lot of pieces. The one that I'm stuck on, man, is that Tissot C-Star. Because for the flaws that it has that I hate, which is the bigger, the size being so big and the lugs being so straight and chunky, I just love that watch so much, man. I don't know what I will replace it with. So it's one of those things.
Yeah, those are definitely nice.
Another watch that I'm that another company that I want to get into within the next year is probably Zodiac.
Yes, yeah.
So I would love to get into Zodiac. With Zodiac, man, I just have this issue whereas that I can't choose. You know, one day I want the skin diver, the consequential skin diver from Zodiac, you know, and then another day I want the all ceramic one that they have with the strap that smells like vanilla. So I don't know. Like it's just I love the Seachron. It's just crazy. So
Yeah, Zodiac, that's definitely another brand that I've been eyeing to get, but I don't know where that's gonna fall in my collection or when I will get one at some point, but
The thing that I like about the skin diver, man, is the skin diver is pretty small and thin. So, you know, you can use it and be on, you know, escape under the radar a lot. 'Cause I mean, another thing is it's rough out there, you know, like people know exactly what watches are now more than before, and you don't want to be swinging around, you know, with a Rolex all the time everywhere, and next thing you know, you're getting beat up for that watch. So,
definitely.
but yeah, it's so when you get back, you say you're gonna transition into being more of an employee of the actual college.
Yeah,
Cool.
so transition to that. My first day of work for that school will be like the day after I get back, so like the following Monday or whatever.
Yeah.
And then we'll just be going. So
Yeah. So you said that you drill out of Fort Worth, right? You said?
out of Fort Worth.
Yeah. So you're doing this as a contractor, not as part of your drill. So when is your next drill? Do you have to go back just to go come back to the drill?
So my unit just was is doing AT while I'm up here. So
Yeah.
I already did like a week of AT for like a change of command inventory. So I'm a free man now.
Yeah.
So I've got a like 1 week done, and then they'll probably throw me on another like the second week of AT orders at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're drilling out of Fort Worth. So I think a week or two after I get back from Fort Knox, I'll have to fly back out to Fort Worth again for a weekend.
For
But it's
your
for the
now
resort.
S4 days,
Yes.
what would be your go-to watch out of your present collection? What would be your go-to watch for drilling?
So I'd probably, I don't know, either the Marathon GSR Arctic that I have or the Turtle. But being a loggie, the Casio calculator watch, I get tempted just to wear that so that I can whip it out and start like doing stupid calculations on my wrist.
When the battalion commander asks you something, you'll be like, "Sir, hold one second, I can calculate it right."
Yeah, so I may bring that one of the drills, but yeah, it's it'll be pretty good though. But yeah, they've been, I say, threatening me to be the S4, even though I would prefer, I don't know, it'd be good for me, but if I do become the S4, I'll definitely be rocking the Casio calculator.
That's for sure. So we're nearing the end, man. We've been probably about 50 minutes now. So you mentioned your way forward on the collection, what pieces you're looking for. When it comes to straps, do you have any favorite straps out there since you're a part of the NATO Boy Club?
I really like the Marathon, like Defstan, like NATO style straps. I like those. I like the CWC, like ribbed single pass that they have. Because it doesn't have spring bars where like the buckle is. So
Yeah.
to me, it feels like more secure.
Yeah.
So I like those. I have like a rubber like NATO strap.
Yeah.
I want to like it, but I don't know. It just doesn't really fit well on any watches I have. But I like that one a lot. If I could find a rubber NATO or like one of the AWWC like decon straps, that would
Yeah.
probably be the one that I'd be in for.
Yeah, because I was going to tell you, man, that Seiko turtle on the AWWC Decon 2, that's probably a pretty badass one combination right there. Because, dude, you get that strap elasticity to it as rubber, so that way you don't have to worry about it. You trim the end,
Yep.
get some keepers in there, dude. You're golden. I'm telling you, man, you're golden. That's a legit strap right there, man. But with that being said, I'd like to ask everyone this, right? What can you think is a hot take from you?
A
Something
hot
that you
take.
think will be a hot take.
I would say, I don't know. I really am getting like fed up with like the limited editions or like smaller like micro brands dropping watches at like various intervals where like you
Yeah.
can't even buy it. That just makes me so mad, and I'm sure everyone is frustrated by that.
Yeah.
But that just like infuriates me because I mean Sanken's that way, and I really want their Neptune, and I think you have a Neptune.
Yeah.
But it just is so infuriating to me that I mean, obviously they can only make as fast as they can get, as they can go.
Yeah.
But it's just so frustrating.
Yeah. I will tell you this, man. When I was in Alaska, it worked out great because whenever they were releasing, it was a different time. It was a different time for me because they're in California.
Yeah.
So, it was closer to be a better time for me than it was for everyone else in the East Coast and stuff like that. So, I had the upper hand.
Yeah,
But
you did.
whenever you're in the, I can see when you're East Coast and stuff like that, the difference of time. And a lot of times you're gonna be at work, you get stuck at work, and people can't get in there and order it. That it is it's pretty intense. It's pretty intense. One brand that Resco.
Yeah.
Resco, different to total different system, right? You order it, they make it, they send it. So pretty big difference there. And I think
Yeah.
it's just difference in styles, but yeah, for Sanging specifically, it's definitely the fact that it's him and his wife. It's like
Yeah, for sure.
needs more hands in there, man. I'll go in there help.
Yeah.
But yeah,
Yeah.
it's pretty cool. So
I have another hot take that I just
go ahead, man.
I'm a marathon watch fanboy for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've been tracking prices on like really all their watches, but the GSR specifically
Yeah.
is just like stupid expensive now, where I don't think it's
Yeah.
necessarily like worth that.
Yeah.
Because they're just the standard automatic GSR on a rubber strap is like $1,500.
Yeah.
And like 2 years ago, it was like around 1,000. So it's like
Yeah.
$500 increased. So I'm glad I got mine when I did, but
What's crazy is that's been happening across the board with tool watches. Like Sinn has the
yep.
same issue, right? A lot of people are not looking at Sinn anymore because they feel it's priced out of category or stuff like that. And some people say the same thing about Doxa because they want Doxa to move to better movements to justify the price and things like that. And it's crazy because every watch company is going up. Like Omega just went up, what, another, 8% or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So it's every year they keep going up, and And it's pretty crazy that the thing that I would say is, marathon, when it comes to marathon, you got to look for when is when they put those sales that it's like 20% and military discount and they'll send you a watch for free. You gotta look for those ones. And I think the value is there for the for that type of thing. I think when it comes to marathon, I think what I would like them to see is to reduce that crown size.
Yeah,
Because the
I could see
crown is
that.
pretty hefty.
It is.
That is a hefty crown. And I think that's probably, this having an LHD, a left-handed marathon, that will come handy because, you don't have that big ass crown in there. But
Yeah,
yeah,
that would
maybe.
relieve a lot of the issue.
Yeah. So yeah, man, I appreciate you taking time out of your day. I know you guys are busy over there with a bunch of LTs lost in land nav, and hopefully, it doesn't suck as much the next 2 weeks, and you go home quick enough. But I appreciate you taking time of your day and coming in, man, and just have a chat about watches.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it. It's definitely a good time. So, definitely appreciate being on the podcast and all that. So,
For sure, man. And now that you're gonna be kind of like a professor, man, you got to start selling watches to people so we get more watch addicted idiots in
yeah,
the army.
definitely.
So yeah, man, I appreciate you coming in. Stay in touch and we'll do it again at some point.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Hit him up. Page on Instagram is Reserve Watch Adventures. He's constantly posting, so look him up, give him a follow, and talk to you guys next week.